I feel like I might be getting old here because I look at this Apple Vision Pro headset and I don't really understand what the appeal is. But then again, I haven't used one yet. Maybe I need to strap one of these things to my face and see what it can do. Take it for a whirl. Asked if any of you have actually used one of these things. I think they're not easy to get in Canada right now. Plus, they're like $4,000 US.
Yikes.
To buy the headset. We did ask the question, are people going to be watching porn in public on these things? And I think it's a valid question. Taz and Jim listener sent us a message here, 1-833 Taz and Jim. Says, hey guys, if you're listening to porn in public with Apple Vision Pro, everyone will hear it. The speakers are built in. There's no headphones.
$4,000 and it doesn't have a headphone jack or Bluetooth?
I responded, I'm glad you looked into it already.
Not interested then.
Oh, I accidentally watched a couple YouTube videos about whether or not you can watch porn in public on your Apple goggles.
If somebody's paying $4,000, they must have a plan to use them. The only thing I've seen like from a POV is a Spotify playlist. And it just like looks like a cloud in the corner of your eye.
I saw somebody cooking with them on, and there was a timer over the boiling water.
What
so you,
a useless
So
use.
You know how long the water's going to
Could
needs
be replaced
to boil.
With a $2 egg timer from the dollar store.
And then there was another timer over the chicken, so you knew when the chicken was done. Pretty cool.
Solving problems.
Again, I'm skeptical, but people are buying them for $4,000, so they must do something.
I would like to golf with them on so I can find my ball. Like, so I could track it?
Yeah, that would be cool. Kind of like the Terminator where it hones in on it. Like,
yeah, yeah. Beep, 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 beep. And then it would give you your yardage to the hole and like a couple other helpful things. Like, that would be cool.
We haven't heard from anybody who has actually worn a pair of these things, but we are getting text messages about them. Hey guys, Taz is right. You can see through them, but it's like having a computer screen in front of you with multiple windows open. Say you can have your stock ticker on one screen, a movie on another. Why? Emails open in another window and you can move the windows around to where you want them. My cousin told me he saw a guy wearing them while working on his truck last week, assuming he had a YouTube instructional video open.
Yeah, I've also done that, but I have my phone on the workbench. Like, does it need to be directly attached to your face?
Here's another one. Hey, Taz and Jim. Have you seen the clip of the guy wearing those Apple Vision goggles on the toilet? You can change the scenery so it's like you're sitting on a mountaintop.
Sitting
on a mountaintop.
Well, that's kind of neat. Instead of a mountaintop, I'd like to do it right into a volcano.
Have the plume of smoke come
sure.
up when it hits?
Yeah.
Is that worth $4,000?
So
for that price, I'll go poo in a real volcano. Last night on television, the beaches were on Jimmy Kimmel.
The album is called Blame My Ex. Here at the song Blame Brett, the beaches.
This song just blew up for him. Huge global attention.
Mm-hmm. I hope she did score a date with the Raptor.
You're on Kimmel. I think the next logical leap would be Saturday Night Live, don't
sure.
you?
Absolutely. It'd be amazing.
You listening, Lauren Michaels?
Canadian Lauren Michaels?
Maybe Dan Aykroyd needs to put a call in like he did for the Tragically Hip back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Although Brett is from Kingston. The Glorious Sons are from Kingston. So maybe Danny Aykroyd would have Brett's back. And
Team Brett.
Team Brett.
I'm Team Brett, baby.
I think they're all cool with it, but good for the gals, man. Sounding great, too.
Mm-hmm.
Kimmel saying that he may step down. He may be abandoning his late night post in a couple years. Quote, I think this is my final contract. I hate to even say it because everyone's laughing at me now. Every time I think that, and then it turns out to not be the case. I still have a little more than 2 years left on my contract. That seems pretty good. That seems like enough. He says that he may change his mind, though. Quote, I'll take the summer off or I'll go on strike. And then I start thinking to myself, yeah, you know, I miss the fun stuff.
Yeah, it'd be hard to walk away. Number one, because you're getting paid millions of dollars to do probably a fun job. Yeah, probably stressful.
Pretty sweet gig,
yeah.
But you're established at this point. You're an elder statesman.
But then is it one of the, are you over it? Do you eventually get over it? Or, you know, there's guys like Letterman who just could have done it until the day they die, but are like, I just got to walk away.
How long has he been hosting his show? Since 2003. Yeah, 20 years.
Yeah. So
that's a good run.
That's probably longer than Carson did it. Like, that's crazy.
Hold on a second. How long have I been hosting this show? Probably about 20 years.
That's
but
crazy.
When I take some time off, you know, I start thinking it's kind of fun to be on the radio.
Nice to have a summer off.
Yeah, it would. But it's also nice to have. See, Jimmy Kimmel's in a different situation than I am because he is financially stable, I'm assuming.
I have to correct myself. Johnny Carson's run 29 years. So Kimmel
right.
at 21 and then 23 if 2 years goes by.
What about Letterman? How long did Letterman do?
Letterman around here.
I feel like Letterman must have been close to 30 years on late night TV.
Must have been. How long did Letterman? 33 years.
Yeah.
So that might be the record. But yeah, good for Letterman.
Pretty good. Well, this also could be a negotiation tactic.
Of course.
This is what they always say. The actors who are in the Marvel movies, yeah, you know what? I think I'm done playing Captain America. I've done everything I can with that character.
Beep, beep, beep. Dump truck of cash.
And a money truck getting backed up to their houses. It's Taz and Jim. Devin Peacock is here. He was telling us about something they're discussing in London, Ontario. And over the past few years, just all of a sudden, people got obsessed with naturalized lawns. To me, it's great because you don't have to do anything and you just let your lawn get overgrown.
Let's be serious. It's an eyesore.
It doesn't look as nice to... if you're into traditional lawns, it doesn't look as nice.
I do like a manicured natural lawn, like when they kind of have a section where it's sectioned off a little bit and it hasn't got too out of control. There's a diverse amount of plants in there. But most ones I walk by, it just looks like almost like...
an abandoned house.
Like a car rotting on somebody's front lawn without the car. You know what I mean? Everything's grown up around it.
So I think you're going to see a lot of cities probably start to talk about this because what happened in London was they had the bylaw officers come by and there was like clashes between homeowners and bylaw officers where if your lawn typically gets to be out of control, they send someone over, they mow it, they cut it down, and then they give you the bill.
Hmm. And what are they charging?
Because not bad, maybe.
Maybe is it cheaper for me just to let the city cut my lawn?
But then you got to pay for it.
Yeah, but if it's like
fine.
$50 or $100, what are we talking?
Cheaper than hiring like a landscape company? Or?
Now, if it's $700, not worth it. $120?
Maybe.
So what they're doing now, and this received a lot of support. So I think if one city does it, you start to see other cities do it. Where the public was behind this, council was behind it. It's not finalized yet, but there would be new rules for heights for your lawn if you have a normal lawn. But naturalized, the one thing they are worried about with the naturalized lawns is the corners, so that people, if you're going around corners, you're not blocking sight lines and stuff.
In your vehicles,
Or
if you're riding a bike, you can see if there's a car coming. That
the reason
sort of thing.
People are doing this is for the bees. It's for
Bumble
the environment.
Bees.
It's so you can have these pollinators, which are increasingly disappearing because a lot of the wetlands are being transformed into housing and whatnot.
What about if you are allowed to have a naturalized lawn in your backyard only? Like, I'd like to see how many people are doing the naturalized lawn in their front and backyard. Right?
Yeah, yeah. How much do you really like the bees? More than your pool?
They put the eyesore out front, and then they have a beautiful patio. Yeah.
Now, front lawns are kind of useless, more or less. Like, how many...
you've got a backyard.
Yeah, occasionally you'd see a badminton net set up on a front yard, but very rarely.
You know what I want you to do? I want you to run for city council on that whole platform. It could be the mullet bylaw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Business in the front.
Party in the back.
Oh, dude.
Naturalized lawns, huh?
Mm-hmm. Business in the front, pollinators in the back.
Liam Gallagher does not care if he gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Oasis. They are one of the potential inductees. They've been nominated this time around. He used some new swear words, Jim, that I'd never heard before.
Oh, really? That's neat.
He's good at swearing to express how little he cares about getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But there are some bands out there who actually do give a hoot.
Oh, yeah? Still, it's not lame to care?
About getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is kind of cool. You know Mark Ronson, the producer? Recently, he did the I'm Just Ken song for the Barbie movie.
He did the Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars, yeah. A bunch of Bruno Mars big hits. Anyways, Mark Ronson has made an all-star video to try and get the band Foreigner into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He has a connection. He's the stepson of the founder of Foreigner, Mick Jones.
Huh.
The band is nominated this year. And Mark Ronson got celebrity friends like Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age, Dave Grohl, Jack Black, Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers, and himself to put together this video to try and sway the Rock Hall of Fame to get Foreigner in there.
You're as cold as ice.
You want to know what love is? Love is putting Foreigner in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've loved Foreigner since I got their debut record.
Foreigner should absolutely be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Can't believe they're not in already. Oh my God.
There's one drum riff that I have used in more than a few songs.
There's some serious jams here.
Foreigner rules.
Feels like the very first time. Come on.
There's no way that I would be the record producer and the musician that I am today if it wasn't for Foreigner.
Feels like the first time. When oh nano, like you opened up the door.
Hey, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Open the door. Foreigner's waiting outside. Let him in.
The other thing that kind of might sway the Rock Hall of Fame into getting the band in sooner than later, Mick Jones, Mark Ronson's stepfather, has revealed that he's been battling Parkinson's disease for years. You know, it's like Ozzy. Ozzy is nominated this year.
Mm-hmm.
Ozzy has announced that he's not well enough to get out there and tour anymore. He may do two final shows, like, for his life, two final shows over in the UK. So I think the older guys maybe get on the priority list so they can actually be there to accept the honor and give a speech.
Foreigner should have been there a long time ago. They're a great band.
Oh, yeah.
And then underrated, too, in a way. Like, you forget. Just listen to that montage. Like, I can name, like, five Foreigner songs that I love. But, like, listen to that montage. There's 12 bangers in there.
Yeah, I've seen the band live a couple times, and you forget how many great songs they have. So, Foreigner, not like Oasis. They really would like to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Last week, a story about the LCBO launching a pilot program where you have to scan government ID to get into the liquor store. That was quickly quashed because there was concerns about privacy and data collection, infringement of rights. So the Ontario government shut that down 24 hours after they announced they were going to be doing it. But how about this one? Would you use government-issued ID to watch pornography on your phone or your laptop? You're thinking about it, Jim.
I don't like the ID part, but I do understand not wanting to let kids look at it.
100%.
Because I had to put ID to use my DraftKings to bet and gamble on sports. So there is a thing that people are already voluntarily giving ID for.
The owners of Pornhub are saying they may block access to the website to all Canadians, depending on how things go with a Senate bill that has been introduced. So they are looking, the government is looking at age verification options.
Mm-hmm.
If you're logging on to Pornhub. Now, another argument is that's just one website.
I mean, right? Google images
you can find it anywhere. It's pretty tough to police every pornographic website on the internet. But I don't know if this is
if this
is a bluff or not. But Pornhub is saying they may just, pardon the pun, pull out of Canada altogether.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird topic. But, you know, 30 years ago, you all had to show your ID to get that magazine off the top rack. There are a lot of studies that pornography is not healthy for teenagers. So I think inevitably it does come down to parental controls set in by the parents on the devices in the house.
It's too easy, for sure. Like, I remember being a teenager, and obviously you're curious. You want to
see what's going on.
See what's up. And down and up and
sure,
down.
And around the corner.
To the point where I would jump into a dumpster behind a convenience store.
Sure.
Looking for discarded Playboys.
It was a wild time. You'd sometimes find it in the woods and stumble upon
Don't touch the magazine you find in the woods.
But you would poke it with a stick and turn the page with a stick. But now it's like it's hard to avoid it.
Yeah.
Like, I open up Instagram and it's borderline pornographic every time I go through the homepage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, not to sound like an old man.
It's everywhere for sure. So they're trying to do something to keep younger eyes off of this material. I can remember the video game Leisure Suit Larry. Do you remember Leisure
Classic,
Suit Larry?
Yeah, of course.
They used to have an age verification to play that video game on my PC. And it was trivia questions. So you'd have to answer like four trivia questions.
It's like, yeah, what team did Joe Montana play for? And like a 14-year-old would have no idea at the time or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like older trivia questions from like the 70s or 60s.
That's so funny.
My mom just thought I was so inquisitive when I'd go in the other room. Hey, Mom, what year did they land on the moon?
Why are you looking at all the encyclopedias, young Taz? No, I'm just curious.
But that wouldn't work nowadays because you could just Google the answer to any question.
True.
Right?
Very true.
So, yeah, I understand they want to do something. I just wonder if anything is going to be able to stop it at this point, right?
Mm-hmm. I want to see you
peacock. It's time for sports. Devin Peacock, our sports guy, joins us here in studio. Basketball. Let's talk Vince Carter.
Yeah, so Vince Carter's now 47 years old. He played over 20 years in the NBA, retired a couple of years ago. He was recently announced as one of the finalists to go into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2024. He was on a podcast this week. They asked him which jersey he would want to wear if he were to make it into the Hall of Fame, and he is going to be elected to the Hall of Fame. That is a guarantee. He said, Toronto, to quote him, he said, Toronto, Toronto, Toronto. It has to be. It's where I started. Yes, I had great years in Jersey, but it started there. My confidence and understanding the player that I could be in the league was trending upwards, still in Toronto.
All right, I'll allow it. Can't hold a grudge forever, right?
You can try, and with a guy like Vince Carter, it's easy to do it, but I'm with you. I mean, I held a grudge against Vince Carter for a long time based on the way he forced his way out. There have been players in the past who have asked for a trade, who have gotten a trade, but the way he went about it was just shady. He stopped trying. He was the dunk guy. If people remember in the games leading up, he started doing layups. All he was doing was layups. He wasn't dunking. And so the way he forced his way out is a terrible trade with the New Jersey Nets. Left a lot of people with a bad taste in their mouth. But when you consider the impact he had on the franchise and the city and basketball in Canada, you got to let bygones be bygones. And I think he should go in as a Raptor.
So what I'm hearing from both of you is time heals all.
I think so. And it's the respect thing. Like maybe he's just doing this to smooth over his career, and that is the one sore spot that he has from hardcore basketball fans. So maybe it's a...
pandering in a way?
No, maybe not pandering, but a token of... or it's a gesture,
it's an olive
say.
Branch that he's extending to us.
I think it's more of an olive branch, too, because if he's legit about this... Now, if he does actually go into the hall and he chooses a different jersey after saying this, then he's not allowed in the country.
It's got to be the old Raptors jersey, too. It's got to be the vintage one. Purple.
Yeah, yeah. Because when you picture the most iconic image of Vince Carter, it has to be the tomahawk dunk, and he's wearing a Raptors jersey.
Absolutely. But it's more than a gesture, because this is forever. So, like, if he wants to wear a Raptors jersey in the hall, then I believe... like. That's legit. That's more than just being nice and wanting to get Canadians to like him.
Vince, we love you again.
You're cool.
Jim got off easy with Valentine's Day. He was away on a ski trip with his buddies. Told his wife, Sarah, he was going to take her out for dinner. A make good Valentine's Day. But she had a kink in her neck.
Pinched nerve.
Pinched nerve on Sunday. So you still haven't done anything for your wife for Valentine's Day.
But I'm not off the hook. If you think, Taz,
she's going to
say,
about
let's just wait till next year, you are way off.
Okay, well, don't let her hear how much Travis Kelce spent on Taylor Swift for Valentine's Day.
All right.
$16,000 US.
Not enough.
A Hermes scarf for $1,300 he bought for her. A $1,100 wide-brimmed straw hat from Celine Triomphe.
Women love those hats.
This sounds like that's the most pretentious sentence I think I've ever heard. A $1,100 wide-brimmed straw hat from Celine Triomphe. A $5,100 emerald green Bogetta Veneta medium Andiamo bag. Okay, that one's more pretentious.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Multiple gifts.
A $1,050 black leather Dior beret. And the rest of the $7,000 was spent on roses. $7,000 worth of roses. Why?
They die. Like, where do you put them all? That's too much for a table. Where do you fill a pool up?
Spent a total of $16,000. Jim, you were very curious to know how that would compare in terms of percentage of annual income to like some guy who's making money working on a construction site or something.
The average Canadian salary, I think, is around $50,000. So I just put $50,000. Travis Kelce spent 0.14% of his $11 million base salary. So he's making money from sponsorships and all other sorts of stuff.
But this is just his base salary.
Yeah, base salary when he's playing football, $11 million. 0.14%. That was $16,000 he spent. 0.14% of $50,000 is $70. So boys, if you spend $100, you are more generous than Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
I didn't know he's such a tightwad.
And if you spent $70 on your gal for Valentine's Day and you're making $50,000, you can tell her you gave her the Taylor Swift treatment.